Sometimes as a teacher, you have going to work discomfort. You don't feel like going to work. Sometimes I have feet discomfort. I mean, it seems there's always these some type of discomfort with the Houston Astros. And I mean, I know it's the fact that they don't really know what's going on with Jake Odorizzi, but if you don't know what's going on, just don't state the obvious. We all know that he was hurting. We could all see that. But prayers to him. And I know that he was walking around in crutches. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the bullpen implosion because it was a weird game. There's the long rain delay. So we'll be talking about this on this edition of Locked On Astros Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram at Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. I'm positive the Red Sox will still lose 100 games. Always Stros.
All righty. It seems like we are having sleep discomfort right now because we are it's pretty late and we're both teachers right now, but we're still up here talking about this long delay. I don't even know how long it was. It was like
an hour. It was an hour and 38 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. I was about to say about an hour and a half. And it just seemed like, okay, this is going to be another one of those games like in Minnesota where it was going to be a huge rain delay. But you know, during a rain delay, the perfect thing to do would be to go ahead and watch the Locked On Astros podcast from the day before. So just go ahead and go YouTube and subscribe to us and go ahead and give us a like and make us your first listen every day, whether it's on YouTube or on your way to work, on your way home from work, or during a rain delay. Go ahead and listen to us on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen. So today's game started off with Jake Odorizzi. He was kind of himself this year. I know he gave up the two runs. One of them was earned, and he was not as dominant as he's been doing, but he limited a pretty good Red Sox hitting lineup at the time, but it wasn't great. But it's been kind of hit and miss this year. I know Trevor Story isn't as good as they're hoping he was going to be, but he did hit a home run this year today. But he pitched five innings, but the last pitch of the game is what we need to talk about. And it was a ground out. I think it was Yuli Gurriel. He got the ball, and Jake Odorizzi was going to cover it. And all of a sudden, they go to the camera, kind of angles to Gurriel trying to make the play. And then I see a tweet notification that says, uh-oh, Odorizzi's on the ground. He fell. And when a pitcher or any player has a non-contact injury, that's very, very, very dangerous. And so something like that. So I know the Astros a little bit later during a rain delay said that it was lower left leg discomfort. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I hear that you have some type of update.
Yeah, basically, Chandler Rome's reporting that Dusty Baker said that Jake Odorizzi is on crutches and in a boot, but he's in good spirits and he's going for an MRI tomorrow. So he is on crutches. He is keeping his weight off. He is in a boot, good spirits. So that could be something that maybe the injury may not be long term. I know a lot of people were speculating. I know people were tweeting out, I heard a pop, and I'm like, no, you didn't hear a pop. You weren't at the game. You're not a doctor. Your high school or college baseball experience doesn't make you a doctor on the field. And yes, non-contact injuries are actually
right.
Can be, you know, disastrous. But until we hear the results of the MRI, we just need to realize that again, he's in a boot and he's in good spirits. That is a good sign. So we take that with a grain of salt and we let the doctors and the Astros figure out what's going to happen. But Eric, before this happened, I mean, you know, five innings pitch, four strikeouts. He only had one. I mean, he had given up a couple runs, only one of them earned. And Jake Odorizzi had really turned himself around this season. He, after the criticism, and there were people joking on social media saying, have we bullied Jake Odorizzi into greatness? Like, do we need to keep like jabbing at him through social media? Because it seems like every time people like were like, oh, Jake this and Jake that, he would just get better and better and better. And even Yankees fans were like, wow, I can't believe like Justin Verlander said something and he turns his season around. And so you hate to see this because of the frustration of what he went through last year, not making the playoff roster. And now with him just kind of seemed like he was steamrolling. He was coasting through this part of the season. You get to a team, and let's not kid ourselves, guys. The Boston Red Sox are 14-21. They are yesterday's news. They are not today's headline. I mean, this may be the game that they win. And actually, Eric, this is the one series that I picked the Astros not to win. I actually picked the Astros to lose the first two games of the series when I predicted the entire month. It was just something about this series where it was planted. Of course, I didn't have any clue into what was going to happen with Odorizzi. But it looked like, coming out of the delay, that the Astros, hey, they put themselves on top. They look to be back to their winning ways and doing what they did when they left off in Minnesota. And Alex Bregman got absolutely frozen by a fastball. He got three straight breaking pitches and just watched a center cut fastball go right down the middle of the plate. And he clearly was sitting, I don't know if he was throwing a slider or a cutter, but he was clearly sitting that off-speed pitch. And it shocked him into not swinging. And that right there was a huge opportunity. If Bregman gets a two-out RBI or a double there, I think that changes the whole complex and makeup of the game. The Astros possibly come out of this a winner.
Yeah, but going back to Odorizzi real quick, he was dominating early. He retired the first nine hitters, and then he was having the finger discomfort with the little blister or whatever that was when the trainer had to come out. But he was dealing, and he was making the Red Sox hitters look crazy. He was throwing the cutter, the fastball. The cutter was going up in the zone, and you saw Devers. I believe Devers struck out against him, and it just looked like he had pure control in the first three innings. He kind of lost it in the fourth inning, and then the fifth inning is when he gave up the two runs. But the first three innings, this is the vintage – well, not vintage, but this is the Odorizzi that we've been seeing recently. And a lot of people don't realize that the 2021 Jake Odorizzi is not who he's been in the past. Jake Odorizzi was a great pitcher. He struggled in 2020. He struggled in 2021. But he was a good pitcher, and this is what he used to – do to be successful. He used to rely on the cutter going up in his zone and making people chase, and that's what he did today.
Exactly. No, he did, and again, he just, you know, he seems like a guy that really thrives off of wanting to not necessarily prove people wrong, but he knows who he is. And I think that's the mark of a very good athlete. I don't know if I'm going to use the word great, but a very good professional athlete knows their strengths. And even when they're struggling, they know how to fight through those struggles.
Yeah. So it's good that the Astros have a built farm system just in case that this is a long-term injury. And we'll talk more about what could potentially happen, because the Astros talked about potentially going to a six-man rotation to kind of save some innings for Justin Verlander. So speaking of that, let's talk about Built Bar.
Yeah, so Built Bar, they are amazing. You've heard me talk about it before, but their new flavor that they want you to try, and I want you to try, I actually had one today. It's called a Built Cake Puff. Imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting, and then opening your eyes, realizing that it was only 150 calories, 16 grams of protein. I got a story about that. See, growing up, my mom would always get this birthday cake icing cups, and I would try to open the silver lid on this thing, And I would try to get enough icing out to where I could take a knife and smooth it over to where she could not tell that I had been cheating and eating the frosting before she made the cake. She always knew what was going on. See, if I had a Built Puff back then, I probably wouldn't have been consuming all those calories that weren't great for me. But here's the deal. These Built Puffs are wrapped in 100% chocolate. Make every day your birthday with Built's Birthday Cake Puffs. Built has taken this delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake enrobed in 100% white chocolate and added sprinkles. That's right, white chocolate. We talk about 100% chocolate, but this is white chocolate. All Built Puffs are covered in this. It's amazing, and they are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get your birthday cake puffs now. Built.com, use a promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com.
I know that you make the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen. Why don't you check out the Locked On Now podcast? They do a great job of putting all the 30 to 45 second nows together, and you get to hear what's going around this great sport of baseball, and you get to be in the know, and you get to say, yeah, you know what happened at the Angels game? You know what happened with the A's game? And you get to talk about that. And so that's what's so good about the Locked On Now podcast. They do a great job. So make them your second listen every day.
Get to know that the Rangers beat the Angels. So, hey, even though the Astros lost, we still keep pace in front of the Angels. So we are all Rangers fans for these next few days.
Really? We have to do that? Okay.
Yes, Eric, we have to, because the Angels are in second place. The Rangers are no threat. They're bottom dwellers.
I know. Just it's still bad to say. But all right, so Jake Odorizzi, I'm guessing the fact that even though he's in great spirits – and he's on crutches, I don't think he's going to be pitching anytime soon. So I'm guessing that no matter what the outcome is, he's probably going to be going on the 15-day IL. So probably what's going to happen is Seth Martinez is already here on the taxi squad. I think that they'll bring him up. So that's the most logical answer to who are they going to bring up right now. So I think Seth Martinez will bring up. It doesn't matter how long he's been down. He's an injury you can bring up anybody, no matter how long they've been down. So he's already on taxi squad. So I think Seth Martinez would be the answer to who would be coming up if they do put Odorizzi on the IL. And if they are waiting for a MRI to make that decision, because we know how the Astros do. They like to wait till the last minute, or at least they like to tell us at the last minute. But I'm pretty sure they've told Jake Odorizzi, we'll get you our MRI tomorrow, but we're going to go ahead and put you on IL because that did not look good.
So, well, Seth Martinez does make sense, and I hadn't even thought about him being on the taxi squad, but I also think Mushinski, Solomon, Belak are also options. I know everybody's like, Belak, oh my gosh, it'd be like that. Yes, sometimes it does be like that, but he's actually been pitching really well. Solomon, I've been hearing stories that his velocity is actually down this year, so that may be an issue. But Mushinski, Parker, has come up, and he has pitched. He's been with the club before. So you're going to go with your guys. This is what I think they're going to do, Eric. I don't think they're staying with the six-man rotation. Obviously, they're not going to pick one of these guys to come in and be that sixth starter. Me, personally, I think they go back to the five-man rotation and they bring up a guy that can go four or five innings in the pen and maybe do some piggyback starting to help out with Christian Javier. Because Christian Javier has been a mixed bag, and I think Christian Javier has the stuff. He just needs to learn to locate it. But I want to talk about Hector Neris and what happened tonight with him and Phil Maton. If we can go that far into the game, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. I'll address the six-man rotation a little bit.
Okay. So, Phil Maton, he comes into the game. I don't know if you noticed on that first tank that he gave up, he was going outside, three pitches in a row. That third outside pitch basically was left over the middle part of the plate. I'm wondering if he shouldn't have gone in. I wonder if Castro shouldn't have called him to go inside and ride the pitcher up inside as he's looking outside. And that right there, when that ball is not reaching the outside of the plate, any any decent major league hitter is going to hit that. Then Hector Neris comes up and he gives up more runs in 2/3 of an inning than he did in his first 16 1/3 innings. And he went out there and he was not locating his breaking pitches. He was not locating them at all. So he had to go with the fastball. And the problem was he was locating his fastballs, but they were being located right over the center of the plate. I mean, he threw an absolute meatball. And so to see Trevor Story, who has actually been booed this year in Boston, go deep, and then Xander Bogaerts, who is probably not going to be in a Red Sox uniform next year, in the same game, and to see Hector Neris struggle, he just didn't have it tonight. Sometimes pitchers don't have it. I think a lot of times in these rain delays, Eric, this weather has an effect on the baseball. That baseball we already know is almost like throwing a crystal ball. I mean, it is slick. It doesn't have much grip. And when it's wet outside and you have all these different elements. Now, I mean, you could say the same thing for Boston, and they didn't give up any tanks like that. But I think that does play a factor here. So you have two guys that have normally been reliable this year. Neris more than Maton. Maton's been a little more pedestrian lately, but not terrible. And you're going to have that. And you're going to have these guys, and this is the key, you're going to have these guys struggle now so they figure it out. So when it comes crunch time, when it comes pennant race, when it comes division placement or playoff placement, that they figure those things out and work those kinks out. I'd rather them work them out against a Boston or Baltimore, someone like that, now on May 16th than in September, October, when it really means something.
And I don't want to keep on going back to this, but Maton did try to go two innings, and maybe he's one of those guys.
They did push him a second inning.
Yeah, because the bullpen is already going to be stretched. And so I think that maybe if he is a one-inning type guy, maybe you can push him two innings. But maybe this was an instance where you probably should only had him one inning, but maybe
I wondered about that too, Eric. No, I think you answered your own question. I think the reason why they put him out there is because he came in, he got the job done initially, and then it just, you know, I mean, hey, Maton, he was missing his command early. I mean, he hit the right-handed batter, you know, and so this whole sticky stuff, man, I think is a disaster for baseball all around. I mean, you just look across the league, how many hit batters there are. It's just, I don't think it's good for the game.
Yeah. And I believe that before this whole injury happened, that Dusty Baker said that they would like to stick to a 6-man rotation, especially after seeing Justin Verlander struggle on 4-day rest. Well, not struggle, but kind of labor a little bit. They want to kind of maybe keep him on maybe 5 days or something rest. So they want to kind of spread him out a little bit. So will this change? I know that they were counting on a healthy Jake Odorizzi. Who knows how healthy he's going to be, but is Seth Martinez the answer for the 6-man rotation? Probably not. Is the answer in AAA right now? If you look at what Brandon Belak has done in AAA this year, he's 2-1 with a 2.36 ERA in 7 games. He started 3. I know they have the piggyback system, but he's got 28 strikeouts and 26 2/3 innings with 13 walks. Opponents are batting .206 with a 1.24 ERA off of him. I know you've already mentioned Parker Musinski. He's got a 0 ERA, 10 strikeouts, and 8 1/3 innings, but he is a reliever, and the Astros might be looking for a 6 starter.
So did Dusty say the 6-man thing after the game tonight?
No, it was before.
Oh, before. Okay. Because I was like, oh wow, he already said that tonight. Wow. I misheard what you said. And let's not forget to talk about Dubon before the end of the show, because I think he's going to play an important role going down the road. I really like his game a lot. But yeah, you know, Eric, I just Brandon Belak, this is my fear. As much as I like Brandon Belak's stuff, and as much as people that I talk to that cover the minor leagues more than I do personally, Belak has always had the stuff, quote unquote. But it just seems like whenever he gets here outside of the 2020 season, he just seems to really struggle. And I hate to label a guy a quadruple A player. And I'm not saying that he is, okay? But if someone like Brandon Belak can come up and be an X factor, can come up and find his groove in the pros, Eric, that would be a huge plus, because then that would give some relief to your other guys and maybe give some confidence to the other guys that are better around him. Maybe that would be a good thing. Right. It's just one of those things where these pitchers are going to have to work through things. You need your pitchers to be successful. Martinez needs to be that guy. I wonder when John Bermudez, I don't even know if he's on the 40 man, someone like that is going to come up.
I believe he is on a 40 man, but he's struggling this year. I know it's
triple A. He's struggling this year. Okay.
But he has a 1-0 record with the 6.28 ERA. He does have 27 strikeouts and 28 and two thirds innings. Sean Dubin is struggling a little bit. He's 1-2 with a 7.11 ERA with 18 strikeouts though in 12 and two thirds innings. I know he had one or two rough starts that kind of inflated his ERA. But and I know you mentioned, somebody mentioned Peter Solomon. He's 1-2 with a 4.78 ERA with 28 strikeouts and 26 and one thirds innings. But if you're asking what are they going to do for this rest of this road trip, which is two games in Boston, I think Dusty Baker answered it after the game. He said Seth Martinez is available in the taxi squad. So I think
exactly. You're going to see Martinez. No, yeah, I think definitely that's why you have him there, right? I'm just wondering if this Odorizzi thing is a long-term thing, or if it's 2 or 3 or 4 months, then is someone like a Martinez, is he your mainstay, or is he your gap filler, right? That's really the question. But don't forget that this team is built for the long haul. I know this team, everybody is like, oh my gosh, look at this. I mean, when I started crunching numbers offensively for this team, Eric, when I was looking at FanGraphs and I was looking at our WRC Plus and all these different things, we ranked tops in the league in offense. And ever since Altuve's been back, we have done that. And just like if I need to get to the ballpark and I can't get there because my car's not working, like tomorrow night, I'm going to Consolation Field with some friends. We're going to go watch Sean Dubin pitch for the Space Cowboys. Well, if I needed a part for my car today, I would have gone to rockauto.com. Why? Because it's now impossible to go to a chain front store, to the auto dealer, and get the part that you need. Now, they may have parts, but the prices they charge you are going to be ridiculously high. They're going to ask for your mechanic. You're going to tell them no, and then they're going to upcharge you. Now, they won't say, we're upcharging you because you're not a mechanic, but they will. Maybe put a 15% surcharge on there. But look, why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes 100% more when you can go to rockauto.com? They've been family-owned for 20 years. And, I mean, it just makes sense to save money. I mean, inflation is through the roof. The economy's kind of helter-skelter right now, so you're looking to save money, and you can't get to work and make more money if your car's not working. So go to rockauto.com. They have reliable low prices. They have a great website. It's easy to use. Type your make, model, the year of your vehicle, whether it's car, truck, van, whatever it is you need, whether you need tail lamps, brakes, no matter what. Go to rockauto.com. Choose from the thousands of selections that they have from all these parts. When you do, and when you check out, I need you to write in the How Did You Hear About Us box, and I need you to write Locked On so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All righty. So you mentioned some stats before that little Rock Auto read there. So what stats were you going to talk about there?
Oh, I was just talking about how the Houston Astros, they, when you compare them to top teams in Major League Baseball offensively, since Altuve's been back, they actually, I mean, they are, these stats are unbelievable, Eric. They rank right up there with the Yankees. FanGraphs has them ranked as basically a tier one best in the AL team. So the Astros right now, over the last, they were 23-12 coming into tonight. Their WRC plus is 116. Their team quality is 179. Their playoff odds are 97.1%. The Angels odds for playoffs is 82.1%. I mean, when you look at, so let's look at this. Since May 2nd, the Astros have hit 23 home runs, 69 runs scored, 67 RBIs, a .254 batting average, a higher batting average than the Dodgers and the Yankees, a higher weighted on base average than the Dodgers and the Yankees, a higher WRC plus, and double the WAR of the Dodgers and the Yankees, 4.8 WAR compared to 2.8 and 2.5. While the Yankees are winning a lot of games, they're playing the Orioles and these crap teams a lot right now. So this is my point in saying all this. The Astros are doing what they're doing, and they're not really getting everything out of this team they can. And remember, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. People were posting a picture of Kelnick and J.P. Crawford saying, name this band. And I'm like, how about One Hit Wonders or We Peaked Too Soon? That's the thing. The Astros have, they're built to last. And that's what everybody forgets about. And the Yankees fans can hate us, and Boston fans can yell F Altuve, which is, I think, completely asinine for them to say that. But you know what? Here's the deal. This team will weather this storm. Jose Altuve is back. And we got Mauricio Dubon, Eric. This kid played small ball tonight. Had the outcome been a little different from the pitching side, he could have had a key part in possibly giving this team a win, with the bunt, with the speed. Almost made it to first, got his first hit as an Astro, I thought, that's a key. That's a big thing. Your role players before him, they weren't getting hits.
All righty. I just saw this tweet from Jared Carabas. We all know great. Who he is. He said, guy's freaking name is Chaz. And guess who replied to him?
Chaz
McCormick said, what's wrong with my name? So I guess that was after McCormick hit a home run off the off that, and that was a great shot. And I know a lot of people hit it over the Green Monster, but it's just like, wow, just to think how high, how hard you have to hit it. So the launch angle was 35 degrees. It was a projected distance of 408 feet, 103.9 miles per hour off the bat. And that would have been a home run in 20 of 30 ballparks. Only 20 of 30. That just shows how, I guess, close in the Green Monster is. So maybe that impressive.
Eric, have you ever been to Fenway Park? I have not. I have not been to Fenway Park. Maybe we need to, obviously this year, probably not going to happen. We need to plan to take Locked On Astros to go see baseball from the Green Monster. We need, because when I'm looking at the ballpark tonight, I'm going, this is a pine box. Like, everybody talks about how Minute Maid Park is small, and people tell me, like, this place is tiny. Like, it is kind of an old, dirty stadium, but it's got that classic baseball feel. Mm-hmm. But it, like, when they're panning the crowd, when there was only, like, 25% of the people still there, I was like, it looks really small. It looks like a high school field. Dude, we've got to go to this place. So we need to see if Locked On can help us out.
Yeah. You know what was awesome? Speaking of crowd, Jeremy Pena had a whole bunch of people there tonight. And I think his mom went up to Dusty Baker and was like, so are you going to play my boy tonight? Maybe not in that accent, but.
Whose mom said that?
Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I know.
The whole Pena crowd was there. Now there's this Molly. She goes by Malls or something like that on Twitter, is for McTaggart, covering for him. I didn't know you could cross cover teams. Anyways, she's like, it looks like we found the Pena crowd. And she was the one where I found out first about the meteorologist saying the rain was going to clear out and all that stuff. But that's great. I believe Pena will probably be in the game tomorrow. There was no need to get him in the game tonight. I mean, I know his family's there, but you're losing it's wet. You're like, no, let's not chance it. Let's put him in there tomorrow.
Yeah. And I saw a little tidbit and I shared this with you. I believe it was from Mark Feinstein. And the Astros recently spoke with Kyle Tucker's camp about a contract extension, but the sides were unable to come to a deal and are no longer engaged. Sources tell me and Brian McTaggart, Tucker will become arbitration eligible for the first time at the end of the season. Well, at least you tried, Astros.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, this is so once this tweet comes out, everybody's saying, oh, they're not going to pay him. They're not going to pay him because they claim they got to pay Yordan, you know, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Look, bottom line is this, let the Astros get through this season. He's arbitration eligible. This isn't like he's up for his fifth or sixth arbitration, which isn't a thing, but Kyle Tucker, he'll probably settle with an arbitration deal. The Astros will probably sign him. I mean, he hasn't had any injury issues really. I mean, the guy's a reliable major leaguer. Just wait to see what he does towards the end of the year, right? And it was just one of those things where, yeah, him and Yordan are the next obvious chips that need to be filled in for this team long term. You just wonder what their value is. You wonder what the market says it is. He's not going anywhere. He's arbitration eligible. He'll be an Astro. I think he'll be here for a while. But those are two big names that, you know, the Astros need to figure out what they're going to do long term.
I think what the Astros will end up doing is buying out his arbitration years and giving him extension that way. And maybe maybe not this year, but maybe next year. And so the following offseason. So the Astros will find a way to get it done. They can't continue to lose talent. And somebody like Kyle Tucker is not somebody that you can afford to lose after losing a George Springer, then Carlos Correa. And you can't continue to lose players because eventually Alex Bregman's going to be a free agent. And I know that Alex Bregman is struggling right now, but he's still a great defender at third base and he's going to figure it out.
Yeah. No, dude, that at bat, he just got outmatched. I mean, that pitcher just won that battle. That ground ball that he miffed, that was a very tough play to make. That was a hop that literally hopped right by his foot. I don't know hardly anybody that's going to make that play. I do want to say this. I was at my son's baseball game tonight, and I was wearing my Locked On shirt because my coach's shirt wasn't clean. And he goes, I know where I know you from. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you're H-Town Wheelhouse from Locked On Astros. I've been watching you and Eric for a year. And he goes, I love y'all's show. So one of these umpires in my son's league has been a fan of our show for about a year. He said, you guys do a great job. He goes, I can't wait to get home to watch the analysis. And I do watch, like Eric says, either on my way to work or on my way home from work. I was like, there you go. It works. And honestly, I feel terrible because I forget his name. I've talked to him two or three times, but good dude. He's actually a really good umpire, and I'm not making that up. Maybe some of these guys need to go up to the majors and replace Angel Hernandez. But we lost a tough game tonight. It was competitive but fun. But that was neat to see that. So thank y'all for listening. And thanks for taking what we say to heart because we do want you guys to listen all the way to work, and we hope that it's entertaining. We hope that it's informative.
Yeah, so if you look at the positives from today's game, you got Chaz McCormick with the two hits and the home run. You have Altuve, who did get hit by a pitch. And so that was a little scary moment. It seems like...
Yeah, he hit on the hand, right?
Yeah, he keeps on getting hurt this year, and it's like, oh, not again. And so thankfully, he was able to shake it off, and he was able to walk to first base. And anytime there's any type of being hit by the pitch by the hand, that makes you worried, especially when I was watching that documentary about Jeff Bagwell. I'm like, oh, that just reminds me of how many seasons did we miss because Jeff Bagwell kept on breaking it, fracturing his hands or whatever. So
anyway. Dubon got his first hit tonight. He bunted a runner over. That runner ended up scoring. So he contributed.
And he made that great play. Chaz McCormick almost made that great catch, but the ball popped out and he was able to throw the ball to third base and got the force out there. So he made some, he looks good out there and he looks excitable. And I think once he gets comfortable, I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah. You know, and I really like this signing. I really think that he is a quality major leaguer. And I just think guys like Nico Goodrum, I just don't really see there's much opportunity for him unless we have an injury.
All right. On that note, let's go ahead, and it's 11:55 somewhere. And that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you check us out, hopefully in an earlier time tomorrow, because it is an East Coast game. And hopefully there's not a long rain delay. And Boston, you need to get a new stadium that has a roof.
Dang, Eric's speaking evil on that snow. Not a new stadium. Y'all just need a retractable roof over Fenway Park. Boston and Abbott Yad.
Just get Gru to build you one. He's really good at that. He could just build you.
There you go.
Anyway, that's all we got. And my name is Eric Heisman. He's H-Town Wheelhouse. And we are the Locked On Astros podcast. Make us your first listen every day. And go Stros.